So joining me on the phone today to talk about her brand new book, Going Back, is author Rachel English. Hi, Rachel. Thanks so much for talking to me today.
Not at all.
So do you maybe want to start off by telling us a little bit about the story in Going Back?
Yeah, that's a good place to start, all right. It's a story of a group of young people who in 1988, the summer of 1988, they're about to graduate from college and they go to Boston for the summer on J-1 visas. And four out of the five, I think, really don't know what they're going to do with their lives. And yeah. I suppose in talking about 88, we're talking about the last time that there was huge emigration. And it was one of those years. I went to the States myself in the summer of 88, and it was one of those years where it really did feel like everybody was leaving. And then the other one, Elizabeth, the main character, I suppose she knows what she's going to do with her life, or rather she knows what other people keep telling her she's going to do with her life, because her parents interfere quite a bit in a well-meaning way, as does her well-meaning but extremely boring boyfriend. And I suppose in the way of these things, it's the other four who were looking for adventure, but she's the one who finds it. That's the first part of the book. And then the second part picks up on their stories more than 20 years later.
Yeah.
I suppose at a time when emigration has become a big issue again, and it's about what happened to them, how their lives have worked out or haven't worked out, and also how the consequences of some of the decisions that they made back in 88, how those consequences start to be felt more than 20 years later.
Yeah. So is the book totally fictional, or is there sort of, you've used a bit of your own sort of experience going over there in the book?
Well, I've used a bit of my experience from being there in 88, but only in the sense that it's so long ago now. So you really only remember things in a sort of blurry way. But that's good, that you have a sort of an overall feel for a place, rather than, you know, you don't want to be reciting off facts or making it feel too much like reeling in the years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just
yeah,
kind of
exactly.
Let's tick every 80s box here. So I did my best to try and capture a sense of that time and that place, because it was a very specific time at the end of the 80s. You know, to me it seems like not that long ago, but I guess somebody said something to me the other day that I found quite frightening. They said it's like when we were teenagers in the 80s and we were reading books set in the 50s. It seemed like ancient history.
Yes.
Well, that's what the 80s are like now for people in their teens or their 20s.
Yeah, so last century, you know, it feels like it's almost a, you know, even to people
and
that have lived it.
In one sense, it was a long time ago in that an awful lot has changed. And I mean, in some ways, Ireland is in a very, very similar predicament. But so much has changed in terms of our relationship with the rest of the world.
Mm.
You know, back in those days, America felt like a different planet.
Yeah.
You know, most of us, you know, when you were 19 or 20, had probably, if you'd been to England, it's probably as far as you'd ever been. Whereas, you know, later generations would have grown up almost expecting to go abroad.
Exactly.
So everything, when you got to the States, everything did have, even the most mundane things, had a sort of magical quality to them.
So this is your debut novel. So how easy did you find it, writing your first book? How easy did you find it?
I found it difficult at times, but I found it incredibly enjoyable. I hadn't anticipated how much I would enjoy writing and how much that, even when things were going badly, and say you'd spent a day working on something and then the next day you're at over it and you thought, no, that just doesn't work at all. I'm gonna have to just delete a day's work. Even then, there was a sort of, you know, the challenge of it, it was a really enjoyable challenge, not one of those, you know, when you're having a bad day at work and everything feels, when things go wrong, you feel so ground down. It didn't feel like that at all.
Yeah. So people might sort of recognise your voice or know you a bit better for your work with RTE. So how did the transition come about to write the book? I mean, did you just one day woke up and thought, oh, I'd love to write a book? Or was it a gradual thing, getting into writing your book?
Yeah, it was more of a gradual thing. It was something that when I was younger, and I mean a lot younger, when I was a teenager, I had thought about, maybe not, I hadn't, you know, quite I sort of thought that I'd like to write. I don't know whether I thought about whether I would specifically like to write a novel, but I did really like writing. And then other things get in the way, and I think you lose some of your confidence as well. You know, you should, I suppose, have more confidence when you get older, but actually lots of time you have less. You know, you don't have that wonderful kind of naivety and passion for everything that you had as a teenager. So, you know, when you're a teenager, I was just thinking about this earlier, and every book that you read, certainly a lot of them can have a big impact on you, and they make you want to write. Whereas when you get older, if you read a really good book, you're more likely to think, oh, I could never do that. So I suppose it was something that really I just put away for a long time didn't really think about. And then about 2 years ago, I just, the idea came back to me, and I had a sort of, not so much a plan as I had a little spark of an idea.
Like an epiphany.
Thought, well, why not give it a go?
So it was a little bit of an epiphany, I suppose.
Yeah, but slowly rather than, you know, there being one light bulb moment. More that sense that, I think I might try this. And if it doesn't work out, well, you know, I won't tell anybody yet. And so I'm not going to lose anything here. I'm just going to see how it goes. And then I found that gradually, bit by bit, step by step, I did really start to enjoy it. And I started after, I mean, it took months and months for me to feel as though I was getting anywhere. But eventually I did.
Yeah, fantastic. So are you finding it easy? I assume you're still, you know, doing other things as well. You're juggling this with a full-time job, or...?
I am, pretty much, yeah. I mean, I'm taking a couple of weeks off because I have a lot to do at the moment, and I'm writing another book at the moment as well. But by and large, I am. Now, I've found that over the past couple of months, I've kind of been a bit frazzled on occasion trying to combine everything. But, you know, that's not a bad complaint.
That's true, very true.
At the moment, you know, I don't think anybody would have too much sympathy for me if I said, you know, I'm feeling put upon because I'm overworked. So I think it's something that I should keep quiet about in the main.
Do you keep to a schedule with writing? Obviously, as I said, you're obviously sort of trying to juggle sort of three or four balls at once at the moment. Do you have a schedule that you write to? Do you have, like, say, you know, you write from a certain period, you write from, say, 9 till 4, or are you having to be fairly disciplined with your schedule and things?
No, not really. I didn't have a schedule as such. To be honest, I found that I carried the book around with me a lot in my head anyway, so that even when I wasn't working on it as such, that I would think of an idea, be it a word or a phrase or an idea for a scene or how something might go. And so I ended up with just, you know, I could have wallpapered the house with the amount of notes I had. But no, I didn't have a set time as such, except I devoted a large amount of time on Saturdays in particular to it. But other than that, it was really whenever I could. And I found that I didn't have to be really disciplined. And I'm sure, you know, this is probably a thing that beginners find, and then later maybe this gets harder.
Yeah.
I didn't have to be disciplined. I was getting such a kick out of it that I found when I had the time, it was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, which is not to say that I would sit down for 6 or 7 hours at a time and work on it. I couldn't do that.
Mm.
But I could certainly say in bursts of 2 or 3 hours, I could happily work away if I had any time at all.
Yeah, yeah. No, you do get these, you do get authors who do work to a very, very, very sort of fixed time frame. And it's just the way that they work to, you know, to make sure they get done what they need to.
Yeah, I think I could imagine doing that in future, maybe, but as a beginner, maybe as a first-time novelist, you're so enthusiastic about the project.
Exactly.
It is like starting a new job or something, you know, something really new and exciting happening to you, that actually you do just want to give it your best shot, so you don't tend to think of it in such a regimented way. I'm sure as you go along, actually, that does change.
So did you say, have you already started on book two, or are you just sort of fermenting ideas at the moment?
No, I'm about a third of the way into it
at
the moment, hopefully, you know, unless I end up having to discard a lot of it. But no, I'm about 30,000-35,000 words into
Fantastic.
It at the moment.
So are you are you finding this a little bit easier for the second book? I mean, I don't know how it works, whether it gets easier or whether it gets harder. You know, obviously, I don't know myself, as you know, because I haven't haven't really written anything. But do you feel it's easier? Second book number two is flowing a little bit more freely.
Well, there are beginner's mistakes that you are less likely to make, which is not to say that I probably won't make some of the mistakes again. That much is easier, but I found it's been slightly harder also, in to the extent that I was starting a new book but also still working on the editing process with the old book, with the first book going back. So it was kind of harder to let go of the first set of characters. I've spoken to writers who've said this, that no set of characters will ever mean as much to you as your first set of characters.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's kind of harder to let go of them, because they do, I mean, it sounds crazy, but they do become quite real to you. Like, if I saw one of them walking down the street, I wouldn't be that surprised, you know, because you have to imagine them as genuine people, as opposed to being sort of just cardboard cutouts. So that has been harder, because I've had to think about two different sets of people. But otherwise, you know, it's still tough enough. Like, I wouldn't say that maybe in some ways it's been slightly easier, but still, you know, tough enough to be interesting.
Yeah, because I've heard sort of people comparing their characters to children. You know, obviously, sort of they're your creation. They've come out of you, for want of a better word. You know.
Well, it's true, and you do kind of get fond of them. You know, even the baddies, you kind of, you know, have a certain regard for. I think you have to think like that, because you have to try and get into their heads, and that's one of the enjoyable things about it. You know, that you're spending some time in somebody else's head. So that's the fun part of the job.
Yeah, sure. So with all this work you're juggling at the moment, so do you get a chance to sit down and read your book yourself?
I do, yes. Now, in the past, I would say in the past week, 6 weeks or so, not nearly as much as I would like, or not nearly as much as I would have done in the past. But yeah, I've just finished reading a really good book by a new Irish author called Kevin Marr, a book called The Fields. So, which, as chance would have it, is also set in the 1980s, but it's a very different type of book. But that came out a couple of months back. So, yeah, I do still, and I like to read anything and everything. You know, I wouldn't be too prescriptive about what I read.
Yeah, I think we spoke to Kevin. I spoke to Kevin, I think it was a couple of months ago, and he's a very fascinating, fascinating guy to talk to.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the book. I thought it was really interesting, and I just loved the main character, his voice, Jim. I thought it was really good, really, really interesting book. It'd be interesting to see what he does next.
Yeah. So, do you have any favourite authors? People that a book would come out and you'd immediately, you'd go and get the book.
Oh yes. Let me see. I suppose my all-time favourite, going back to, believe it or not, when I was about 17 years old and I was working in a summer job as a chambermaid in the Limerick Inn, just outside Limerick, and one of the American tourists who were staying there had left behind a book, as chance would have it, called The Accidental Tourist by Anne Tyler. And so ever since, I've been a big Anne Tyler fan. So yes, she's somebody who, it was a book out last year, so probably another couple of years before we see the next one. But she is somebody who, just for me, is just perfection. You know, I've read all her books, and I just think she's a wonderful writer. And I've read two or three of them more than once. I reread recently The Amateur Marriage, and I just thought it was brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. So how do you feel, I know you were saying about you get to read sort of now and again, so are you an ebook person? How do you feel about ebooks?
I personally prefer the feel and the smell and the look of a book, but it really doesn't matter to me at all. You see so many people nowadays, you know, on the train or whatever, who were reading away off the Kindle or whatever. And I think that's absolutely fine. Whatever way people choose to read, whatever suits them, that's fine by me.
Yeah, it's strange to hear everyone's sort of, you know, their viewpoint on what they prefer. I mean, I know it's handy. They're handy than carrying these big huge books around and stuff.
There's something about a book, though, yeah. Even just the look of a book. I mean, that's one of, certainly one of the first time I saw the completed cover of Going Back, you know, it was just, it was such a happy moment. Yeah. You can't imagine ever feeling the same about looking at words on a screen. It's just not the same as having the actual book in your hand.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I just, even the smell of books, I mean, I don't know if it's just me, like the smell of a new book.
Oh, no, when you go into a bookshop, it's lovely. And you can't really browse with e-readers either.
No.
You know, it just isn't the same as going into a shop and having a look and saying, oh, look at that, maybe not. But yeah, there's something lovely about a bookshop.
Yeah, definitely. So I ask this to most of the authors I talk to, but do you have any advice for maybe, obviously, as you, as a sort of, you know, you've just published your first book, do you have any advice for anybody out there that's thinking about maybe putting pen to paper and having a go at writing a novel?
I would say do it. And if it isn't working out, there's a chance that, you know, maybe it's the wrong idea. And more than likely then, if you're really enthusiastic about this, the right idea will come to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great to plan and to sketch out what you want to do. But I think the moment has to come where you just sit down and say, I'm going to go for this. And even if it's awful, well, most people's first attempts are awful. And even authors, you know, I heard an interview, I mentioned Anne Tyler, I heard an interview with her recently where she spoke about the fact that when she writes a book, and here we're talking about somebody who's, you know, widely acknowledged as being one of the most beautiful writers in the English language, she goes through 5 or 6 drafts.
Yeah.
So, you know, even Anne Tyler's first draft is probably better than most of us could ever aspire to.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? That's the point, is don't be put off if you read it afterwards and think, that's not working. You will get better. And the other thing I would say is enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not meant to be penance.
Mm.
It's a wonderful thing to do. And if you have an idea, and if you get to play around with characters, and you get to play around with a time and a place, it's just, you know, it's actually can be a really relaxing thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. That must give you quite a big buzz, you know, even going into a bookshop and seeing your book, you know, a physical thing on the shelf, and people looking at it and.
Yeah. I suppose, like you, I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago who was saying then there's that awful moment where you see somebody picking it up and they leaf through it and they look at the back and then they leaf through it a bit more and then they put it down again. And you go, no.
Pick it up again.
Don't do that. it is quite good. Actually, the best thing for me, and this is all so new to me, you know, such a novice at it.
Yeah.
The best thing for me so far has been the first couple of times that I have met people who I don't know who've read it and who were able to quote bits of it to me. That was but you know, just one line or whatever, you know, as so and so's Elizabeth said, or I like that line about what Danny said or whatever, and I thought, God, that was really wonderful.
Yeah.
That was perhaps even better than actually seeing it for the first time.
Yeah. So have you had much interaction with people that have read the book, any sort of fans?
Well, very, very little so far, because
early days.
You know, it hasn't really seen the light of day.
Yeah.
As yet. So, you know, it's only this week, at the end of this week, that it's coming out.
Yes. Yeah, true.
So, I have to a certain extent, as in I have with people in the publishers, and I have increasingly over the past 2 or 3 weeks with people from bookshops and booksellers who I've been talking to, and it is, there's something very satisfying when you think, gosh, it's an actual book. It's not just a big old file on the computer.
You were talking earlier about seeing the cover of your book for the first time. Have you had much input into the cover? Did you have any say in the images and things on the front?
Yes and no. The original idea for the cover, which sort of features a brief outline, just a tiny bit of the American coast, of the east coast of America, and a tiny bit of the west coast of Ireland, in opposite corners of the book, came from the boss at Orion, Susan Lamb, and it was something that I would never, ever, ever have thought of.
Yeah.
But as soon as I saw what they were trying to do, and this was kind of an earlier draft. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I would, you know, when I first heard the idea, I was a bit, how would that work? But actually, I think it's really, really beautiful. I was genuinely thrilled with it. So I didn't have to have an input, which is great. I mean, it'd be terrible if you had to go to them and say, you know, folks, I really hate it. Can we not do something about it? But I was very fortunate that
yeah.
didn't happen.
I'd say there's a lot of that goes on. You know, it's
yes.
the thing of trusting. I've heard other authors like Alex Barkley and Derek Landy, for just to give examples of, you know, getting the artwork for their covers of the books, and it's been totally misinterpreted. Sort of, you know, the feeling of the book, and they've had to, you know, go back and say no.
Please. Oh, that must be terrible.
It must be heartbreaking.
I was so delighted when I saw the completed version that both Susan, who sort of gave the brief to the designer, and the designer who did it, who's actually American, you know, totally got it. There was nothing that I would have changed.
Yeah, that was obviously the right angle to go from.
Yeah, just I wouldn't have thought of the idea of using two little maps, but it turned out really, really well. I think it's quite distinctive looking, which I really like.
Yeah, very striking cover. So thanks so much for talking to me today, Rachel. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
So, Going Back by Rachel English is published by Orion Books, and it's available in all good bookshops now.